This is a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat
with guest Billy Joe Shaver.
I'm your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond. For the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more, point your browser to nosurfmusic.com. All right, and this is another edition of No Surf Music's Burning River Fireside Chats. And joining me today for a second edition here is Mr. Billy Joe Shaver. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing real good.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us again. It's really great to get to see you again. And
this is better to be seen than viewed, you know.
Yeah, well, whatever works, right?
Yeah, right.
So the last time we got together, we had a great conversation, talked a lot about your early career and how you got started and all that. So today I'd actually like to talk a little bit about sort of the last few years and what's coming up for you. And this is actually the first time we've gotten to talk since your last album came out, which was live at Billy Bob's Texas.
Yeah, you know, this album, when it comes out, it's been 7 years since I've done a studio album at least, or maybe longer. And I'm really looking forward to it because I've got my voice is really good right now. It's in good shape, and I'm in good shape. And if we don't hurry up, I'm afraid something might happen.
Okay.
You know, I'm getting all kind of injuries. I'm working with my shoulders all messed up. And they said I need a new shoulder. But I'm working through that, and I got a new knee, and had a heart attack, got all kind of stents and things in there. Well, I had open heart surgery and had four-way bypass, and then this shoulder here has screws in it, this one don't, but I need a new shoulder here, and I broke my neck 3 times, and just all kind of stuff, you know, just rowdy fighting and stuff.
I gotcha.
Just regular stuff.
Yeah, well, a few new parts, but the same old Billy, right?
Yeah, whatever everybody else is doing, that's what I'm doing.
Okay. Well, I do want to talk about what you have been doing and then get into the new album a little bit, because even though Live at Billy Bob's was a live album, there were 2 new songs on it.
Yeah, they were.
And we talked a lot about the shooting incidents the last time, so I definitely want to pass by that. I know the story, believe me. Yeah. But I do want to talk about The Get-Go. Because that was a great song.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the best you've ever written, honestly.
Gary Nooks and I wrote that together.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I wrote it all, but Gary helped me so much. He did. I didn't write it all. He helped me write it. He wrote as much as I did. I just got with it on the kitchen table and just blood, sweat, tears, and got with it and did it. It took me about 3 or 4 days. Just staying up and going. And I finally got it correct. Got it right. Before it wouldn't be too far over anyways. I'm real good at that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, it's not bad because it is such an epic song. So 3 or 4 days to work something out like that is pretty impressive.
It tells the truth.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
A lot of stuff that needs to be heard.
Well, that's one thing that I found so interesting about it is that you know, you've got a very storied songwriting career, obviously, but this particular one seemed to cover a lot more of the world and politics than you usually get into. Why did you decide now was the time to write a song like that?
Well, I've been carrying it around. The Get-Go, I've been carrying it around forever. And I do that. I'll have little pets that I don't want to write because I know I'm going to enjoy them so much. I enjoy writing.
Mm-hmm.
And thing is that I carry a lot of pets. I've got a whole gang of them that I just maybe have the title even to something, but it rolls around in my mind and all, and sometimes they come out just like that, but people say, well, how you write a song that fast? I said, I didn't write it that fast. It's been in there a long time. And then when I get one that I really like, I won't let nobody hear it. And I'll just keep playing it to myself and enjoying the hell out of it, and then turn it loose reluctantly. They're just like a lot of people say. Well, they're like children, but they're almost they're pretty much grown there. And they you love the bucktooth ones just as much as you do the others. So you can't pick any one that's your favorite or anything like that. but they I've got a lot of them standing around waiting.
Nice, nice. So your process then is, I mean, it may be you pick the pen up and literally get it down on paper real quick, but you're thinking about these things for years sometimes.
All the time I'm thinking about something.
Okay, okay.
And it's not tiring. It's actually keeping it going because it's the cheapest psychiatrist there is, and God knows I still need one. And that's where it's at for me. And most of my songs are written trying to stay alive. The rest of them were written trying to get back in the house. You know how it goes. And that's about it.
Okay. Well, you've definitely got a few apology songs in there one way or another, I guess.
Yeah, I've had a few. Yeah.
So, I guess for anybody out there who, you know, wants to be a writer themselves and wants to learn from somebody who's done it as long as you have and has been as great as you have, what would you say is sort of the key to being able to come up with those ideas? I mean, do you have a process that you go through, or is it just that it comes to you and you don't even know?
It just comes to me, and I've been lucky. God blessed me with his talent, and I've done the best I can with it. And ever since I was about 8 years old, I've been doing this, and I knew I was good at it. I've been knowing that all the time. Of course, behind every great man is a woman saying, "You can't do that." You know, so my wife, she didn't know. When I first came to Nashville, she didn't know. I had a clue. But I knew. I knew all the time.
Well, in the end, I guess you proved her wrong, so that's what counts, right?
Well, I wasn't trying to prove her wrong.
Right. Well, you're just trying to do your thing.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, then let's talk about the stuff you're working on now.
Yeah.
You're planning a new album. Does it have a title yet? Do you?
Well, no, it doesn't. We're going to wait and see what sticks its head up more than the rest of them. But they're all, any one of them could be a title.
Okay.
So there's that one that I got that'll probably be out as a single soon. It's hard to be an outlaw who ain't wanted anymore.
Okay.
And the rest of them are, well, a lot about Nashville. And my first wife. And some about my second wife. See, I married my first wife three times.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed away of cancer. The last 3 years I was with her by her bedside. And it's rough. It's rough. But anyway, she passed away, and then I had a heart attack and stuff. My son passed away, and my mother and my wife and my son all passed away within about three months.
They were real
months.
Close, yeah.
It was really rough. But, you know, I'm a Christian, and born-again Christian, as a matter of fact, and I don't cry about things like that. I'm happy for them, really. I'll be glad when I get to go. Tell you the truth, and I've been wanting to here lately because things ain't moving along like I wanted them to, but then I ain't that spoiled.
Right. Well, I certainly hope it's a good long time because I think you got a lot more for us music fans to listen to.
I'm gonna bop till I drop, I guess.
Absolutely. I hope you do.
Yeah, well.
And I hope it's a good long time.
I'm walking wounded right now. Everybody is, though, just about my age.
Right.
And all they're just all beat up. Yeah, but they got to keep going because if you stop, people forget you in about a week.
Well, we wouldn't want that, that's for sure. And hell, I'm not even half your age and I'm pretty beat up myself, so I know how it goes.
Everybody's kind of beat up.
Exactly. That's what life is like, right? You know, it just happens.
Man, you know, you don't get hurt.
There you go. So, can you, you mentioned the one song, what was it, The Outlaw?
Yeah.
It's Hard to Be an Outlaw.
An outlaw who ain't wanted anymore.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Maybe give us a preview, what it's about, or are you keeping that behind?
Too much because somebody riding around. As a matter of fact, I've heard a few things that rolled around it, but they just mentioned it in the songs, and I was like, I knew that was going to happen because they've had it up there for over a year.
Mm.
And everybody's been listening to it and listening to the other songs too. But I've got a few that humdingers that I'm holding back and I'm not going to play them until it's time to record.
Okay.
And then I always write two or three during the time we're recording and they're always better than the rest. So I'm not going to turn loose on anything right now.
I got you. Well, it's good to hold on to your secrets and surprise us, for sure.
The thing is, if you don't, you know, it's not, I don't think they inadvertently do this, but I don't think anybody does it on purpose. They just, if they hear something good, they can't help but be influenced by it.
Right.
And sometimes they'll get drunk and stuff and sing, and they think they wrote it to
forget where they heard it, yeah.
All right, you know, as long as it's a good one, but they can't write it no better than I can.
I got you.
If he can, let him have it.
Well, you said a bit earlier, I believe, that you you thought that this album was pretty much as good as anything you've ever done.
Yes,
even, you know,
is.
Old Five and Dimers and mm-hmm. the stuff you wrote for
yeah,
Waylon and all that.
Yeah, those are standards, man. Mm-hmm. They'll be around forever. I sound like I'm ego-tripping, but I'm not. I'm just telling the truth.
Oh, I believe me, you cannot highly enough praise yourself around me.
Well,
I will tell you, you're one of the greatest songwriters that's ever lived, sir.
Yeah. Very much, but when I'm calling somebody like this, it's going to be on the ground that I'd have to tell the truth.
I totally understand. So what do you think it is that's brought you back to the top of your game? You know, like I said, I think that the last couple
of... I've always been writing good.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's really heard it. I kind of kept it down there in Texas. I just played it for myself. And as long as I'm writing, and I'm my worst critic. As long as I'm writing and I'm satisfied with it, I feel like I'm successful.
Okay.
Even if nobody's doing them or nobody's recording them. They're off of me right now for some reason or another, but that's all right. A lot of these new guys, they're good looking, they're young, and they come up here and they take, like, Hank Hoppin or something. They mm-hmm. take one of his songs, old Tush Hog like him. He's passed now, but
mm-hmm.
but they'll take one of his songs and make a big hit. And then after about two of those, I guess they get to thinking they can write too. But to tell you the truth, they've already got their fan base together, and some of their stuff they write is just not that good. But they think it is because it's together and all the people are still buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that because they were first impression is you know, if you make a good first impression, you got it made. And I think they just think in their head that it's great, but wait until they hear this album, and then it'll change everything.
Okay, well,
just like Honky Tonk Heroes did.
Nice.
It'll change.
Well, that's a pretty big statement, so I'm definitely
yes,
looking forward
I
to it.
Because,
I mean, Honky Tonk Heroes was
glad.
A huge album in many ways.
I'm glad to say that.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad to hear it.
It makes me work harder.
There you go. Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to it, and we'll keep in touch and make sure that
Thank
we review
you.
It when
it's
it comes out.
It's hard to hold these things in, though. I'm about to bust the sails.
I got you.
Play them, I just won't do it.
Well, you're not playing any of those songs live yet, or you're just holding them?
You know, I do Get Go and
right. Well,
Wacko from Waco
right.
and things like that. But,
none from the new one yet?
No, none of them.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, one of these days, right?
Yeah.
One of these days.
No, it's true. It's going to change things. I'm sorry, but it's going to change things.
Well, some things need changing, and actually...
Well, I think it needs to be turned over, like, you know, how farmers do. They turn that land over sometime. Well, it's got to be turned over.
Nice. Well, that's actually kind of something I wanted to talk to you about, because, you know, you were born, you grew up in Texas,
mm-hmm.
But you ended up in Nashville pretty early on, and you've been there from way back.
Yeah, 66.
And then you left in the mid-80s, right?
Go
back
around,
to
84.
Okay. So you were there for a long time, and
yeah.
you saw, you know, what's been going on with the music industry and all that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, to your mind, since you got in the mid-60s, what do you think are the biggest changes in the music industry that you can see? And what do you think that's the effect has been on artists coming up?
Well, I'm telling the truth, and there ain't nobody going to like me for it, but the truth is that there's these guys that get together, some of them just one person, but they all got a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of buying, you know, they stopped them, the government stopped them from buying racehorses and writing that off. Now they're buying people. They're just putting money behind them and putting them out there. And if they don't make it, they just write it off. And if they do, they make a lot of money.
Okay.
And so they're just betting on people instead of horses. And a lot of times they got so much money, it's just, you don't get to hear anything else, any competition or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to hear it. But when this album comes out, it's going to be so good, it's going to have to listen to it. And they will too.
Okay.
And there's no problem about it. I have no problem at all. I just can't hardly contain myself. Well, I can't wait to get it out there.
Nice.
I'm having a fit about it because it's taking forever.
Right. Whew. Well, I think when you're a creative person, part of the thing that annoys you the most, I guess, is the process, right?
Well, yeah, and then too, if you lay it out there and you, you play it for some producer or something, there's always somebody comes around and wants to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're all songwriters, everybody in Nashville is a songwriter. And if they play it, you know, if they hear it, it's, you might as well kiss it goodbye, because if they don't write it exactly like it, they're going to write around it something like it.
I got you.
A lot of them do it on purpose, but most of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
I got to admit, most people have a big ego and they think their stuff's better than everybody else's, so they don't steal from each other. That's the way Texans are.
Okay.
Everybody thinks they're the greatest. I'm one of them.
Well, hey, you know, in some people's case, it's true. So well, you might as well keep thinking it and make it true,
well,
right?
Why not? I mean, it's a whole lot more fun to think that, and it makes it easier to write.
I got you. So obviously, you have for a long time been associated with a lot of the great writers and a lot of the great all-country folks. Willie Nelson, of course, and Chris Christopherson, and Waylon. Good, good. But I guess... What I'm wondering is there anybody who's coming up now or who's newer who you really respect?
There's a guy named Jackson Taylor.
Okay.
That I think is really great. He's kind of a troublemaker like myself. Reminds me of me. But he's real good. And if he can keep it, you know, stay out of jail and stuff, he'll be all right. Jackson Taylor, and then I've always loved Todd Snyder. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about Todd that I don't like. And man, there's so many of them. Of course, Gary Nicholson and Ray Candy are both top of my list.
Uh-huh.
And, gosh, there's so many. Actually, the guitar player in my band, Jeremy Woodall, he's about as good a songwriter and singer as there is. But he chooses to play with me, so that's good.
Okay.
That'll work. And, we go down the road in this little 15-passenger van, four of us. We make money, though. We don't. If we were in a bus for a while and tried it out, and it's just too much money.
Right.
You can't make it, especially playing small places like we do. Yeah, we make as much money as anybody else playing small places. Cause, and then too, I like that upfront stuff, getting in people's face and all that.
You know, I got you.
They get in your face, really, is what happens. I like that contact. That close contact is good.
Yeah, well, it's hard to not have close contact when you're in a van all day driving from town to town,
true.
Right?
Yeah, we get along real good, brother.
That's good.
We're all real good friends. And, no problem with that. I'm saying, you know, when they're in a club, though, some of these clubs guys are just right, people, women, men, all right on top of
them. I got you.
Really great. They go to the floor and panties and tears and things like that.
Well, it's a little bit different tonight.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, no.
Well, we went out to
although
California,
some places you never know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not so much in Texas, but.
Different directions.
Well, that's great. So just to close things up, I hear a lot of great stories about you from different folks, and I always like talking to you because you are always full of great stories. So I actually just want to let you sort of have an open floor. And what's your number one all-time favorite story from your entire music career, you know, about somebody you met or something you did or something like that? What would you like to tell people?
Well... Oh, I'd like to say this, that if you don't love Jesus, go to hell. And I'm a born-again Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's got the wrong idea about that, because God loves us all. He made us all different, and that's the way we're supposed to be. There's nothing wrong with being yourself, and there's nothing wrong with drinking. It's not what goes in your mouth that defiles, it's what comes out. So you drink up and watch what you say. Okay. Of course, be careful driving home. Don't run over us. And, the things that I want people to know is that if you accept Jesus in your life, you can do everything better. You can kick a can further. You can hit a man harder. And it doesn't matter what you do as long as you love Jesus. Within the law. But you'll find yourself doing some really nice things. I just wish everybody could get on board because it ain't long before we wipe ourselves out, I'm afraid. I hope everybody sees the light. And if they're worried about the fat guy under the tree and Jesus Christ, well, you just think of it this way. Who would you want to babysit your kids? It's a no-brainer.
Well, I don't have any kids, so I don't have to worry about that, I guess.
No, you might have.
Anything's possible, I guess, right? I haven't had quite as exciting as the time as you have, I suppose, but anything is possible.
It is, too. Yeah, I have a lot of fun.
Good.
Yeah, I married another girl after I got straightened out. I married her three times. Divorced her three times. But the divorce is Wanda Lynn's her name, but the divorce is just... keep not working out. So I don't know. I got so many friends. I guess I could pick somebody, anybody I wanted, but not exactly. But I don't do that. I never have left a show with a girl. I will never will. I don't believe in that. I believe it's just best not to involve that with your music because they get all thrilled and it's not real.
I got you. There's that whole groupie mentality.
There's nothing wrong with them feeling that way, but as long as they just keep it feeling, and that's it. It's good. Some people just have a wonderful time feeling that way. And I feel good about everything. I'm just happy for everybody.
Well, I do have to say, one story I heard about you, I think Eric Taylor told me once, y'all were playing out in Italy, I think it was, and there were some girls in the crowd, and they lifted up their shirts, and the security guards came over to kick them out, and you just stopped and said, "What are you doing down there, They're having fun. Let them keep having fun."
Yeah, it wasn't hard to look at them either.
Exactly.
Pretty nice scenery.
I mean, nothing quite goes together like music and some boobies, right? So.
I'm a sucker for titties.
There you go. Well, I guess Jesus and titties, whatever works, right? But anyway, I do want to thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you.
It's going to be a really great show, so we're looking forward to it. And Mr. Shaver, thank you for talking to us one more time. This has been another edition of No Surf Music's Burning River Fireside Chats. This is Jason D. Diesel Hammond signing off. This has been a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond, signing off. Remember, No Surf Music is your source for the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more. For original reviews and interviews, visit nosurfmusic.com.